Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Beamich and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Here's the situation. The Commander's brass is telling us that Cole Holcomb's the guy, and maybe they need to add some veteran back-end help at linebacker. For much of the offseason, they told us they needed help at linebacker. Now they've identified Holcomb's the guy. We just had our friend Ethan Cadeau on from NBC Sports Washington, who said if you look at the offseason, if you look at the draft, if you look at free agency, it's entirely possible they looked at all their options and identified Holcomb as the best one. Whether that was financially, as a guy going into the last year on his rookie deal, or his play on the field last year, or some combination of both. The question I have for the phones, for the Commanders fans, for the people out there, do you buy it? Or do you believe it's possible that they've just gotten to this point where it's late May and OTAs are starting and they still have a problem at linebacker and they're like, all right, we're rolling with Cole. Everybody get on board. Yeah. That's my question. Let's start with the phones, then we get B. Mitch's answer. Let's go to Rick. Rick, what's up, man? You're on the MGM National Harbor listener line.
Hey, what's up, JP and B. Mitch?
What's up, brother?
Yeah, guys, I just don't, you know, I'm just confused with Ron and the whole organization, what they're doing. I mean, to say that Cole Holcomb is the guy, well, hell, why couldn't he have been the guy last year? I mean, I just don't believe Ron. And Ron, I like Ron. As a person, but he does a lot of double talk as a coach, man. I just pass on N'Kobe Dean, and I know he may have some issues in it, but I think the better pick at number three would have been N'Kobe Dean. You needed a linebacker. You didn't really need a running back at three, man. I just don't know what they're doing. I'm at a loss. I hope you guys can explain it for us. Yeah, have a great day.
Thank you, buddy. So that I think that's a pretty firm one vote, not buying it. Yeah. Would you say so, B?
I think so. It's and to me, how do you say a guy is the guy when you had the opportunity to play him at the position you didn't? You played somebody else. I think we've done this a lot in this town where we get people and we change their positions and we expect them to just automatically hit the ground running. That's not easy to do all the time. And if Cole has improved every year at the position he's been playing, he led the team in tackles last year, why move him to another position? He's shown you he's damn good at what he does. Let him do what he does, and you said that Jamin Davis got better when you moved him back outside. Let those two guys be the speed guys that can run and chase down people and make tackles, and get a veteran guy or somebody with more experience in the middle where they can hold down the fort for you.
Yeah,
I just always thought that makes more sense. But for some reason, we're back at that trying to always change a guy's position, and we expect him to go out there and play like the other guys that's been doing it all their lives.
Yeah, I think that's pretty well said. Now, I do think it's possible they just think he's ready for this, and they want to push the gas on it, and Cole's excited about it. Like, all of that could be true also. I'd circle back to, I've used this analogy before, but that movie, The Social Network, there's a scene where these pompous douchebags, the Winklevoss twins, are trying to sue Mark Zuckerberg because they're saying, hey, we invented Facebook and you stole the idea. And then eventually Zuckerberg just says to them, if you invented Facebook, you would have invented Facebook. Like, he just came up with something better and different. Yeah. And I say that because if Cole Holcomb was the mic, why wasn't he the mic already?
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of where I'm at. But that doesn't say that it can't work and that maybe this was actually their plan. It's just the timing of it all seems kind of bizarre. But I also want to point this out because somebody tweeted this at me. And while I don't agree, this dude said, yes, Tuan Diggy, I want to give him credit. Tuan Diggy says, yes, they could need veteran depth for the linebacker room, but that my wording sounds like I'm trying to stir the pot. I'm not trying to stir the pot. I'm asking a legitimate question about what I think might be the biggest weakness going into the season for this team that struggled to stop the run when they needed to last year.
Yeah.
And last year they used a first-round pick, the 19th overall pick, on a linebacker. And much like they made their entire focus of this offseason, understandably, because the position's far more important, but the entire focus of this offseason became, let's make Carson Wentz as good as we possibly can. And if you ask me, a way to make Jamin Davis as good as possible is put him out there next to a veteran and let Holcomb and he be on both sides where they can use their lateral speed.
Yeah.
See, and the
reason I look at it like this, okay, you drafted a linebacker last year that you moved to the middle. And you saw he couldn't do it well. You brought other guys to play middle, and you had Cole Holcomb outside playing very good. This year, you say you're going to need some help at it, and then you go and you now say, well, we're going to move Cole inside now. And who's going to play the outside part on the other side? Are they going to play just two linebackers all the time? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like you might – because he's played well at a position, he's going, oh, he can play the other position. Well, who's going to play that other position? He was playing very well. Are they going to take a step back and that's it? And he's learning a new position, which means to me he's going to struggle for a little bit. So now instead of having one guy who's solid in the middle, you now have three people. We don't know how good Jamin is going to be based off of last year. Cole Holcomb now is going to be learning a new position, and whoever's going to be at the other position – will he be better than what Cole was?
Couple good tweets, and then we'll go to the phones. Christopher Krawchuk said, they are taking the everything we need is in this room philosophy way too far. And another funny one, this is from Washington Emotional Support on Twitter, says, we've got what we need, but we still need what we don't got. The Washington football paradox. I like that. Let's go to our guy, Rod. Rod, you are on the MGM National Harbor Listener Line. What's up, man?
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, man?
B. Mitch, exactly what you said. Like, and it's the same song and dance. We always bring in guys who do well in other spaces and other positions, and we make them do something completely different, right? If Cole Holcomb performed well on the outside last year, keep that. But I've been screaming this since we signed Carson Wentz for $28 million. You signed a guy for $28 million when every other position is solidified. That money should have went elsewhere. And now Ron Rivera and the rest of the organization, they're scrambling and they're giving us more excuses as to why we don't have what we need. Like, we're still shorthanded. And I don't know if everybody feels the same way, but I wanted more of Scott McLuhan. Like, I like what he was putting down in the beginning. We did not give him a fair shake. And he was a football guy. I thought coming in, Ron, we were going to have football people making football decisions. But this seems like the same song and dance. Like, I promise you. Like, we have a name change, new jerseys. But same thing. Like, the same chefs in the kitchen. We're not doing anything. I don't believe it. I don't believe they know what they're doing at all. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
All right, man.
Thanks, dude. You know, I've said this before, and it's weird to say because obviously the off-field shenanigans stuff has been cleaned up a million times over.
Yeah.
But at times, this administration feels like the previous administration.
You're right.
And some of it, you wonder if it is financially driven and if there is some edict. The fact that Ron Rivera brought up cost-effectiveness about traveling to Richmond for training camp, head coaches in the NFL shouldn't have to worry about cost-effectiveness in any capacity. They should be worrying about winning games.
Yep.
The business office, the salespeople, the sponsorship people, the ticket people, the presidents, the C, every, what do they call it, C-suite? Those folks should be worried about the finances, not the coaches.
Yep.
Coaches win games. And I don't know, but it's just bizarre, man. I think Holcomb's a good player. I think it's entirely possible he's ready for this move. It just...
It just seems odd that linebacker position was a problem last year. And the bright spot was Cole Holcomb in that position where he was. Now this year, he's not in that position anymore. He's in a new position where he's learning. We don't know who's going to be on the other side. And we have Jamin Davis, a guy who struggled. You know, that's the easy way of putting it. He struggled in his rookie season. So now you may still have issues at your linebacker position because you refuse to bring anybody different into it.
How about this is a good tweet from Dwayne. He says, Ron repeatedly said he was looking to add to the linebacker room, but never specifically said a Mike backer. Maybe he already planned on Holcomb being the Mike and was looking to add to the outside. Dwayne says, I'm not saying it's the right move, but maybe that was their plan. That could be their plan. That's a fair theory.
Yeah.
Let's keep the phone lines going. My guy Matt is calling from Andrews Air Force Base. What's up, Matty?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing well, man.
Doing good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. So I agree. Cole had a pretty good year last year. I mean, and then Jamin, as a rookie, it's hard to be put into that position with a defense that's probably overhyped and for him to come in and just immediately add to it. I think, you know, Ron always being a defensive guy, to take it back to his days in, you know, Carolina, I think the system around Cole is what's going to help Cole. You can't, in the division we're in, they're pretty quick on the outside, so we're probably going to run more nickel looks. And I trust Cole's instincts in the past, in the passing game, rather than his run against the run. So I feel like he himself being a sub linebacker, playing the middle and kind of controlling telling the outside guys what to do is going to help benefit going forward. So I don't think Cole's going to be bad. I think everybody's kind of worried about why don't we have a solidified middle linebacker, but I think we do if Cole is put in the right position. Thank you, guys.
All right, man.
That's a real good call.
But the thing of it, like, the problem was stopping the run last year. So if he's good in the pass and he's not very good against the run, then guess what? Your problem that you had last year is still your problem this year.
I mean, it's possible. Yeah, and I do think it's important to point out that we're getting nitty-gritty on sub-package stuff here, and maybe they think a safety can help in that role. This team plays a ton of three safety looks. Maybe might have been Russell I was listening to yesterday when I was driving to get my car. Shout out to Oarsman Fairfax Toyota for always taking great care of me. But, you know, you're seeing more and more defenses kind of get away from the conventional, whatever you would say that is, four down linemen, three linebackers, and then another four defensive backs. To maybe it's more of like a quasi-nickel look, but they just have that Buffalo guy out there closer to the line of scrimmage. It's entirely possible that their plan is for Holcomb to have the green dot on his helmet to call all the plays, but they're not too worried about a straight traditional Mike backer like many are expecting in a 4-3 defense. And I honestly think they'd be helped if they explained that. Uh-huh. But let's go to our guy Daryl. Daryl's in Columbia. What's up, Daryl?
Hey, JP, thank you. And let me tell you, man, Larry Brown, Brian Mitchell, Dexter Manley, Gary Clark, Joe Jacoby, and Joe Theismann should all be in the Hall of Fame. I don't know why. I don't know if they got something against our skin, but our commanders.
They
but
do.
I will say this, though. It's very frustrating, you know, to see.
They don't believe the team pushes hard enough to get them in there. It's the truth.
Absolutely. But they should be there. So,
yeah, absolutely.
But my take is this, man. It's very frustrating seeing how this team operates and, you know, what they're relaying back to the fans. We're very confused about their moves. You know, I just feel like this season is going to be determined by the scheme that Del Rio places and Carson Wentz. It's going to come down to that. Our defense is not – I think that our defense, we should be getting more out of our defense, and I don't think we're playing the scheme of the personnel that we have on our defense. We should be more of attacking instead of read and reacting. The people that are good at man coverage are playing zone. People that are good at zone coverage is playing man. People that are good at nickel are playing on the outside. So it's going to come down to Del Rio and our defense, because I haven't been satisfied the last 3 years with the defense. You know, I mean, Brady went up and down the field against our defense over 500 yards in that playoff game, and we were still in it. But we couldn't get a stop when we needed to. And it's going to come down to Wentz. If they're putting Wentz in the right position to win, or if they're trying to help him fit this scheme. That's my take, guys.
All right, brother. Appreciate you.
Thank you for the call, Shane. Appreciate it. I think there's something else to consider. You know, the post-June 1 cuts are going to hit here in about, what is that, 2 weeks or so, B?
Mm-hmm.
It's possible they're waiting on that to add somebody. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look back, Bobby McCain was signed probably about this time last year. Charles Leno got signed after the draft. So, you know, we said when we started this conversation, kind of all week when we're looking at strengths and weaknesses, that it's not necessarily a final 53 that we're looking at. It's just, B, you said it really well. Holcomb played really well last year doing one thing.
Yeah.
Why change it?
That's just the question I have. But, you know, like you said, it may work. But it's just like I've consistently seen stuff like this where you create another problem. You think you're solving something, but you create another problem by taking the guy who played exceptionally well at a position and you move him somewhere else.
Here's what I want to do. There's people still on the phones and want to talk about this. Stay on the phones. If you want to call in, chime in, 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. I also want to hear from Landfill and Jeff on this. We'll keep this going. 11:45, we're going to get a little lacrosse preview. Maryland playing UVA this weekend in the NCAA tournament. It's a big one. It's a big one nationally. It's a big one locally. And Landfill, I don't know if everybody's aware of this. Apparently, Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher are going in on one another.
Yeah, I saw that.
Jimbo Fisher said, "You can call me anything you want to call me, but you ain't calling me a cheat. I don't cheat and I don't lie." Jimbo says he would have been slapped in the back of the head by his old man if he lied or cheated. Then he says of Nick Saban, "Maybe somebody should have slapped him." Woo!
I love it.
A&M, Alabama, October 8th. Get your popcorn ready for that. We're going to try to track down some of this audio. Maybe we won't have it till tomorrow, but we got to listen to that. Don't go anywhere. It's B. Mitch and Finley.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. About 15 minutes, we'll be joined by Danny Gladding, a Virginia lacrosse legend, to help us break down tomorrow's UVA-Maryland Lacs game. Keep in mind, B. Mitchell Finley is always presented by John Leahy and the Fine Living Group. Let the MVP of DMV Real Estate sell your home for more. Visit johnsellsdmv.com. We got some callers here. We're talking about Cole Holcomb and the Mike linebacker position for the Washington Commanders. Shout out to my guy Ben Standig, who just sent me some really interesting quotes from January from Ron Rivera. Appreciate Benny, I assume, listening to the program. This was the season wrap-up press conference, and Ron was kind of talking about Jamin Davis, saying that he doesn't think it's fair to judge Davis off of really 2 years as a starter, one at Kentucky, one in the NFL, and thinks that as he plays more, he's going to get a lot more out of him. So here goes Ron. Speaking of Davis, we had to learn him and understand him. You guys heard what I've said the last couple weeks is that with a true Mike in there, David Mayo playing that position, not only did you see Jamin Davis play well, but you saw Cole Holcomb play even better. That, to me, is exciting. We learned something. Again, losing John Bostic when we did really stood out, and it showed us how important the group is. I get it, and I'll get criticized for saying what I just said, but that's okay. That's how I feel. I feel that if we could all settle down with the expectations and just give people opportunities, we may get surprised. So you heard him talk about when you had a real Mike linebacker and David Mayo out there, Holcomb and Davis played better. This was specifically on asked about adding a veteran middle linebacker. Rivera said, well, I think, again, in that group, it's important to have the right guy there. As we evaluate the process, that's one thing we're going to look for is make sure we have the right guy there. So that said, entirely possible that their process led them to believe Holcomb is the right guy. But then I would ask, who's going to replace Holcomb when you are in your 4-3 base?
There you go.
Because
that's the question.
I don't think it's Mayo. Mayo's a veteran Mike that doesn't have speed. I don't think it's Kalik Hudson, who has 23 tackles in 2 years and is quite undersized for the position. They list him at 6 foot 220. I think that's pretty darn generous.
5'10 and a half.
The 220 is even more what I'd be worried about, not the height. That's like there are times when you're building a football team that you have to allocate resources to lots of spots, and then you got to make do with what you got where you got it. And maybe that's what they realized they had to do this offseason, or maybe they're still going to add a veteran that can play. And this will be much ado about nothing. I what did you think, though, of hearing those quotes from January, B?
I mean, I know we can't judge. I don't judge people completely, but I think Jamin seemed a little lost. Okay, and you drafted him in the first round. He shouldn't be lost when you draft him in the first round. And if he wasn't ready to play, why was he drafting him in the first round? You get what I'm saying? The yep. ultimate thing for me is I just don't believe too much in making trouble and causing issues in a position that you don't have to. If he's good at the position he's at, get somebody that's already good at the position that you're trying to move him to now. Because what happens is you lose something when you move a guy. And as you said, who's going to play that position? And will they play at the level that he's playing it?
And that's not at all to suggest people can't change positions and people's careers can't evolve over time. Like, hell yeah, that stuff has to happen mm-hmm. for things to work. But I still question the depth at the position. Because the guy that played the best of the group last year, you're now moving over. You're counting on the guy that really played subpar to step up and use all of his athletic talents. Who else you got?
Nobody on the roster right now.
Let's see if the callers agree. Let's go to Paul down in Southern Maryland. Paul, what's up, man? You're on the MGM National Harbor listener line.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. The Mike linebacker spot is a glaring need for the team. I say leave Cole Holcomb where he's at, out to the side. He's his strengths lie with his pass coverage, but, I mean, he led the team in tackles. If he's leading the team in tackles from the outside linebacker spot, leave him where he's at. Why they haven't brought somebody in yet, I don't understand. I was, you know, kind of hoping for Wags, obviously that's not going to happen now. And I'm wondering, I got two philosophies on this. One, they like to bring extra safeties up to help in the run. I'm wondering why. I'm thinking maybe that's why they haven't addressed the position yet. And then my second philosophy on why they may not have addressed it yet is when we went out for, you know, we were in the Russell Wilson sweepstakes. Obviously, he didn't come here. And the general consensus is that we got to do some winning and fix some things before the big names are going to want to come here. I'm wondering if all the fanfare that they went through in the media after not being able to land him and all the things that were said about, you know, big talent not wanting to come here, maybe they don't want, they're trying to avoid the same thing in the media and try and save face, not catch another black eye. I don't know. I'm going to listen to what you guys have to say.
I appreciate it. I don't think with a aging middle linebacker compares to a quarterback. I think that was about cash, and I think the Rams gave him a bunch of cash that Washington wasn't going to give him. I think a lot of this is about cash, frankly. And maybe Washington is identifying the positions they don't want to pay a ton for. You saw guards. They let Sheriff and Flowers go and signed replacements much cheaper. And if you think about, you know, what they're doing at linebacker, Holcomb's on the last year of a rookie deal. I imagine he's making, I'll pull it up, but what do you, I mean, Holcomb's a fifth round pick in the last year of his rookie deal. What do you think he's making this year, B? I bet it's around $1 million. Like,
But the thing about it, let's just be real, man. We can sit up here and we can have all this stuff about what they don't want to pay, this, that, and the other. If you don't want to pay certain positions, you're not going to be competing against the people that's paying those people.
Yeah.
You know, eventually we got to pay some damn body. We can't have a whole team of people that are on the cheap and think we're going to compete with guys that have top-notch guys.
Yeah. Well, and then yesterday you were able to – yesterday. Last season you were able to pay for John Bostic, and you can get a veteran linebacker for – $2 million. It's not. Maybe they're still going to sign somebody. It's just. It's interesting to hear how you've got to fix something, and then you spend 4 months not fixing it, and then you say, "Oh well, we had the answer all along."
Mm-hmm.
It just it doesn't exactly add up to me. Let's go to our guy Marcos out on the left coast. Marcos, what's up, man? How's the weather in beautiful sunny Southern California?
Yes, sir. Hey, JP. Hey, B. Mitch. It's a little cloudy right now, but, you know, that's that marine layer that we usually get in the mornings. It's going to be a lovely 69 degrees later on today. So sorry about that, fellas.
It's nice here today, so no complaints.
Right on. Yeah, that lovely spring D.C. weather. The only time that I like being back there.
Yeah, but you get like maybe 10 days of it, and then it'll be 95 degrees.
Exactly. I wanted to discuss this whole Cole Holcomb discussion that we got going. Let me go back to his days at North Carolina, if I may. I know he was predominantly set at outside linebacker, but following his career, he was used all over the place, fellas. So I think that he's ready for this mic role, quote unquote. And while he was at Carolina, he also led the team in tackles 3 years in a row. So what I identify this, fellas, is this team is still looking for their quarterback, not only on offense, but on defense. And with Ron's philosophy and Jack Del Rio's philosophy, they need their quote-unquote, they're still looking for their Luke Kuechly. And I think Cole would best fit this role as far as trying to be like a Luke Kuechly type of defensive leader on defense. So that's how I take it. I think they're going to switch him and Jamin. They're going to reverse roles. They made a mistake on Jamin last year, and I look forward to seeing Luke succeed in this role this year. Thanks for taking my call, fellas, and best wishes this oncoming season.
I man, appreciate it.
Thank you, buddy. It's a good call, Marcos. I appreciate it. I would hesitate significantly to make Luke Kuechly comparisons. I believe Kuechly was defensive rookie of the year. Like, they're just – Luke Kuechly's probably going to the Hall of Fame. He's a five-time All-Pro. I think he had a defensive player of the year in there. his first year in the NFL, he had 164 tackles, two interceptions. That guy was a do-it-all guy. I think Cole might emerge as the clear mic backer for this team, but you with me there, B? I think we should chill on making those comps.
Yeah.
Maybe it's somebody to fill the same role is what he meant, which I could understand. But yeah, listen, I'm not saying Holcomb can't do it, but if he was the answer all along, why didn't you try to get somebody else? And if maybe they're going to get that person in the next month or closer to training camp. We shall see for sure. A little bit of golf update. Rory McIlroy still getting it done, man. He is the overall leader right now. Justin Rose making some noise. Tiger's fine. It's a pretty good leaderboard right now going on out in Tulsa. Max Homa, who won just a few weeks ago here in D.C. at Avenel, is currently in second. Will Zalatoris, Justin Rose, Big John Daly still competing. Tied
John
for fifth.
Got skills, man.
Two under. Tiger is at one under, so he has fallen into a big group of people tied for 10th right now. But keep in mind, they've only been playing golf 2 hours, three. Yeah. Like they're
on their ninth hole, basically.
Yeah, the first groups are only about halfway through, so there is a lot of golf left. You know what should be pretty cool is that the ESPN coverage is going to include like Peyton Manning, Ken Griffey Jr., I think Michael Phelps. So it could be a lot of fun to watch this afternoon. I know I'll be keeping an eye on it. I'm guessing you will too, B.
Oh yeah.
When we return, our annual NCAA lacrosse preview with our boy Danny Gladding talking Maryland UVA at noon. I want to get into this Nick Saban, Jimbo Fisher stuff. This is getting
Deion Sanders
wild.
Involved as well.
Oh, good. Yeah. Yes. Why wouldn't he be? let's keep turning it up. B. Mitch and Finley, don't go anywhere. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Now, look, you guys listen to the program. You recognize that Brian will eventually be in the NFL Hall of Fame and that I am an NFL reporter first and foremost. We talk a lot of football in this program, but once a year, we talk some lacrosse, and we do so with our friend Danny Gladding. Danny is a UVA lacrosse legend, three-time All-American, won a national title with the Wahoos. But Danny, I want to start here, buddy. Congratulations on this. You have a Wikipedia page where you are listed at 6'2", 110 pounds. So I want to congratulate you on the weight loss, man. You must have really been slimming down.
Yeah, pretty impressive, right? I don't know how that got out there, but haven't been 110 pounds in a long time.
6'2", 110, that's more like a javelin.
Yeah. So, Deej, let's talk about this game tomorrow. We got Maryland is the number one overall seed in NCAA lacrosse this year. I mean, they are a wagon. I believe they're undefeated. Forgive me, I guess the game's Saturday. Usually Maryland versus UVA is a Final Four game, or I think last year it was a national title game. How are these two facing off so early in the Elite Eight?
Yeah, it's a great question, JP. And first of all, thanks for having me on the show, to both you and Brian. It's great to be on again. That's the big question and a point of contention for a lot of kind of, you know, more avid lacrosse fans out there. Many think that there's a possibility these are the two best teams in the country. They've played very tight games the last two NCAA tournaments that Virginia has finished with the upper hand by one goal. It was not quite as tight when they faced each other earlier this season. But, you know, if I'm Maryland, I'm not excited to have had the year that they had and had to face Virginia so early in the tournament. And clearly, as a Virginia fan, we wish we were playing someone else in the second round, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy. Like, what happened? Every Ivy League school got in the tournament? How did they come up? Are there automatic bids and then at-larges? Like, I read somewhere that Notre Dame was the third-ranked lacrosse team in the country, and they didn't even make the tournament.
Yeah, you've done your research. I'm impressed, JP.
I Googled it.
Yeah, so only one ACC team made the tournament this year, and that's Virginia. And if you think about some of the stalwarts of, you know, powerhouse programs, in years past. That leaves out Syracuse, that leaves out Duke, North Carolina, and Notre Dame, as you said, had a terrific year. But what happened was most of their wins were kind of scored against teams that the committee did not think were tournament caliber teams. So they didn't come across as quite as strong of a schedule as some of these other leagues where there were more teams that made it. So six teams from the Ivy League and only one ACC team. It feels very irregular, you know, there is a committee at the end of the day that makes these decisions, and they just felt the Ivy League in total had a much stronger strength of schedule because they thought the average team was a much higher caliber level this year.
What about Virginia that Maryland needs to be concerned about?
That's a good question. In May for college lacrosse, I've always thought that anything can happen. You get a hot goalie and a hot faceoff guy, you're going to be tough to beat. And the last time Maryland played Virginia, I think Virginia was a little bit banged up. They had some kind of key players that were injured, particularly our faceoff guy. It showed. It was a complete kind of washout of a win, one-sided on the Maryland front. But you know, Virginia is a very streaky team, and so if you get those two other components hot at the face-off X ending goal, I think everyone in the country knows Virginia can score a bunch of goals. So they just got to get the ball, and so I think that those are kind of the key pieces that Maryland would be thinking about.
And what about on the Terp side of the ball? I know they had that kid who went and played football and won a national title in D2 and may have signed on in the NFL. I can't remember his name, but he went to Ferris State, was the just an outrageous scorer. He's gone now. What is the Terp strength? How's their face-off game look? All of those things.
Yeah, it's a good question. And, yeah, I think he did sign on to an NFL team to kind of show – the level of athlete that he was. They are good all over. I've only seen them play a few times, but I think they're one of the best college lacrosse teams I've ever seen. They have, wow. They're very deep. They've got speed and athletes everywhere, and they're a smart team. So they're playing at a better level than really anyone in the country right now. And if they can keep it up, they're going to be extremely hard to beat.
From a athletic standpoint on this, and I honestly want to ask you both. So Maryland has lost to UVA in the NCAA tournament, I believe, in both of the last 2 years. And I know last year was for the title. They beat the tar out of them earlier this year at Audi Field in a regular season game where maybe the Hoos were a little beat up and Maryland was probably, you know, really fired up for that game. Who has the mental advantage right now? And Danny, I'll ask you first as somebody that played lacrosse, but B, I'm curious what you think just as a former pro athlete.
Go ahead, Danny.
I mean, it's a good question. I mean, if you're Maryland, I think you want to focus on yourselves, because when you take care of business, there's not a lot of other teams that can keep with you. From a Virginia standpoint, you've got nothing to lose. And I think the game earlier in the season, it really doesn't matter at this point. You want to go out there and play loose, play free. If you were going to have a three-peat and win the national championship again, it likely was going to have to go through Maryland at some point. And the fact that it's the second game of this, of the tournament, you know, I don't think that matters as much. I think you just get yourself ready to play. You go out there and leave it all on the line and see what happens. Brian, what do you think?
I think, you know, like you said, JP, talking about the previous years, that makes nobody cares about that right now. I think Maryland has to focus more, just like Danny said, more on what they've been doing this year. They've been playing terrific, and I think if they just keep focusing on what they've done well, then things will work out for them. You know, I think if you start worrying about what they did to you 2 years ago, Danny said, you're not focusing on yourself. You know, and then I think the game earlier this year, they may use it as motivation. You look at it, see what you did well, see what you can correct. And I think the coach, as Coach Thompson always said, I'm sure the coach will look at that thing and find something wrong with it or the game where they really went and blew them out. So now he can go out there and focus on getting themselves better. If they're better, If they're the better team, they shouldn't have any issues. That's the way it should be.
I think it'll be a fun one to watch. It is Sunday at 2:30, I believe. Maryland, UVA, lacrosse. Last one, Danny. So I know B. Mitch has taught me this trick, and I've been with him a bunch of times, that when he's trying to get, like, moved up to first class on a plane, or if he's not, if he's not sure we can get our dinner reservation, if they're going to make us sit at a bad table, he'll just kind of pull out his Super Bowl ring and start twirling it a little bit and make sure it gets in everybody's line of sight. Do you do that with your UVA national title ring, and has it had any great success in Charlottesville or elsewhere?
Oh, goodness. I would need to find it, first of all. I don't mean that, I don't mean that to take away from the experience. It was a wonderful experience, but I'm also cognizant of the fact that lacrosse is a much smaller platform than the big stadium and TV audiences that Brian used to enjoy. And we're still a small sport, but
I think you need to get that thing out next time you can't get a tee time you want at the club and just be like, listen to me, damn it. I'm a natty title holder, all right? Danny, thank you for the time, dude.
That's what I hope you help me with.
Yeah, I just tell B. Mitch to call. Thank you for the call, dude. Appreciate your time.
Appreciate you, brother.
Thanks, guys.
All right, man.
That's Danny Gladding, a national title winner for the Virginia Cavaliers in lacrosse. When we come back, we got to get into this. Nick Saban, Jimbo Fisher, Deion Sanders, everybody is throwing verbal haymakers down south, and it is damn entertaining. Don't go anywhere.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.